Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the day now that you've given to us. We thank you for the beauty of it. We thank you for being our God and how great you are. You created everything around us. You've given us the breath of life that we can be here today. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for each family member, each family that's represented here, Father, this in here today, this past week. You've provided for us. You provided the food. You provided the needs. You provided just all the things for us, Father. And we don't want to overlook the things that you provided there for us. And then this extra stuff maybe that you've given to some of us. We thank you, Father, for that too also. You are a great and wonderful God, and we praise you for it. We thank you for the creation that you have out around us here, Father, that we can look at and know that it had to be a great God that did these things around us here, Father, and we praise you for that. Thank you for being the true God that you are, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, I just ask you would be with each one of us here today. We ask that you would quiet the hearts, the things that maybe are on our mind, that you would just put them aside for now, Lord, and let your Holy Spirit just teach us your word here today, the things that that you want us to know about you and about raising children and things like that. So we just hold that before you and ask you would do that for us. We just ask now, Lord, that you would enlighten us, be with us, guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. In a frank and earnest cartoon, the two bunglers are standing before the pearly gates. St. Peter's holding the keys. He's growling at Ernie. Frank whispers to Ernie, "If I were you, I'd change my shirt, Ernie." Ernie's t-shirt reads, "Question authority." So, you know, and that's what we're talking about, parental authority. You know, you're in charge. This is the first lesson here that we're going over. And we went over some of the different things, you know, with the parent, you know, what the parents are supposed to do. Children are supposed to obey their parents, honor them, obey them. And they're to follow what the Lord has in His Word that the father and mother are supposed to be teaching them. And we've seen that just some of the things there, the parents, they make the rules, and then the children are to follow after them. They're to reward obedience. And, you know, that's something that doesn't happen a lot today in families. You know, they don't reward obedience and things like that there. They're to administer the punishment for disobedience, and that includes using the rod. And there's a lot out here in the world that, you know, they don't believe in that, and they won't use the rod. You know, they have their own different aspects of it, these timeouts and things like that there. And you see what happens. You see that we have a society the way we have it. And if you think that I'm just fooling you on that, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and let me read a couple verses here to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." I don't see that today, do you? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Isn't it funny how he put in there disobedient to parents? You know. And are we seeing that today? Man, you're seeing that a lot today. And then the rest of the verses here that says, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." You know, and it's a lot with these people that have been brought up now, you know, that are living here, you know, and even in the Christian circle, you know, you have these people that are going to churches, and it's just like going out here shopping. Well, if I go to this church and the pastor gets on my case about something, I'm not going to obey that authority. I'm just going to go shop around. I'm going to go look for something that tickles my ears and makes me feel good, you know. And the preachers today are supposed to give the word of God out. And you better be thankful for the one that you have that gives the word of God out to you. And if he steps on your toes, he steps on your toes. That's just the way it is. That's the way I look at it. I'm sorry. And you know, that's just it. You know, they just don't want to follow authority. You know, the authority. They don't like the authority. This society today does not like nothing with authority. Well, you know, and that comes from bringing these children up, you know, that same way. You know, they got to obey authority, and you're the one that has to give that to them, you know, to show them that you're the authority over them, and God is the authority over you. An evil age is marked with disobedience. You see that. You see that, you know, and that's what an evil age is, disobedience. The disrespect that children have and the disregard for the needs of others, God's going to send judgment upon them, even the children. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17, he says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Destruction. Destruction for people, you know, because of disrespect, you know, disrespect that children have. And children do have, you know, this disrespect today. And I mean, it's just part of the sin life that they got to, you know, that you got to get out of them, and you got to teach them the right things. Now, We had gone over a bunch of questions last week, and you have to answer them questions, you know, such as you will be attentive and insecure in discharging your duty to God and your children. So God comes first. You have to obey God. They've got to see that you're obeying God, and then they need to obey you. And that's what you need to teach them, you know. You need to teach them some of these things, you know. So, you know, you've got to teach them these words. And the principles, it lies in God's word. These principles lies in God's word. And that's what you're supposed to teach them. Proverbs chapter 1. Starting at verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equality, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. That's what you're trying to do with your children. You're trying to teach them wisdom. You're trying to teach them justice. You're trying to teach them this judgment and this equality of life and things like that. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to teach them these things. And like I say, it all comes in God's word. Now, parents today, they like to improvise, you know, because they don't understand the biblical principles that God has in his word to shepherd his children. You know, many parents are like that today. In churches around us, you know, that's just what it is. And parents' goals are often no more noble than intermediate, comfort, and convenient. That's all they want. Convenience, you know. This is convenient for me to correct my children. This is convenient for me, you know, for my children, you know, how to grow up and things like that there. When parents require obedience because they feel under pressure, obedience of children is reduced to parental convenience. Christian parents must have a clear understanding of godly parenting, and children must be trained that God calls them to obey always. And he does. He does call them to obey always. Now, some suggestions here of parental authority. All right, first one here. If a child breaks a rule, you have rules and regulations. I hope you have rules set up in your homes. If a child breaks a rule, what do you do? What would you do? Anybody? I'm going to get you talking here today and thinking, so.
Ha, 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 ha.
anytime. And you're right, that does happen. What if a child breaks one of your rules? Doesn't he or she have to bear the consequences of breaking that rule? They have to, you know. If you're going to say and do something, then you need to say what you say you've got to do. You've got to come back with it. If I fail to set the consequences for a violation and my child already felt guilty for his wrongdoings, then I should not punish but share how he could make restitution. So if you don't have consequences, you know, for this, you know, for the violation and stuff, you know, you're not really teaching your child anything. Now, let me get you in here on something here. Active rebellion is when a child will not listen to or accept his parents' instruction. Active rebellion may be manifested. And let me see if any of this here happened in your families. When a child throws a tantrum, responds with a defiant no, or rebelliously walks away while talking, while the parent is still talking to him, what would you do? What are you saying? Get his attention? Is that what you're saying? What would you do? Ben? Has this happened to anybody in their homes?
Absolutely. We have one child that's done all three of them at the same time. I'm not joking. And some days it is every day. And you deal with it and you think, all right, we finally got through. And the next day it happens again. Or maybe the following day. You might get 2 days out.
We're not sure if there's any thinking. I'm sure about the gray matter.
We could slam it into that gray matter. We would. But yeah, it's like, I don't have the answers. I mean, unfortunately, Natalie's at home trying to deal with a lot of times when it happens. By the time I get home, there has been somewhat of a change in attitude, but there still has to be a consequence for the action that happens. And so then I end up coming into play when I get home.
And that should be. Seriously, that should be. I mean, you're the father. You know, and that's your responsibility. Now, she handled the best she could, but now turn it over to Dad, and Dad has to handle the consequence. You know, let them pay for the consequence. Anybody else? Anybody else? Ron, you're ready to say something. I know you are.
I think it's necessary to, I think, get in the child's face. You've got to have their attention. They got to know what you say is important, and they got to listen. And just talking to them sometimes just isn't enough.
How about this incident? When a child continues to play or focuses his attention away from mom, dad, or a grandparent when they are talking to him or giving him instructions. In such cases, he is also expressing rebellion. What do you think?
That's what ears are for. Kind of handles the one right direction.
Has this ever happened in your family? You're trying to talk to them and they just continue doing what they're doing and act as if you are not there.
Yeah, it happened this morning.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Do you realize that this comes out in the adult life when they're out on the job? I'm serious. I have seen this out on the job myself. You know, one of the instances, and ladies, please, I'm not against you for being out in the workforce or anything. But where we have a lot of our problems is with the ladies that are out, the women that are out on our jobs. You tell them something to do, and they will do the opposite, or they did not hear you, and they just continue going what they're doing. And we have one of them that will try to boss you and tell you how to do it when you have just told them what to do. Don't question what you're supposed to do. Just do it. But instead, they would question it. It comes out. I mean, I'll bet you when they were a child, I liked to see their childhood. I think about this now since I'm going through this stuff. You know, when I'm out here working and I see these kind of things, and you know, and they pay no attention to you. We have one lady that all she does is stand around and do nothing. And we are trying to teach her. They want to fire her, and we're trying to teach her. I like to give people second chances and third chances. Try to teach her. Keep yourself busy. That's all you have to do. Just make it look like you're doing something. But instead, just stands there, you know? And you tell them to do something, and she'll go out and do it. But, you know, and then nothing else. She just expects you to tell her what to do all the time and how to do it. You know, I feel for her, but, you know, she's got to... I just wonder what her childhood was like when she was growing up, you know. How about this one? When a child will not accept correction, this is evident when he argues with mom or dad, blames it on someone else, or pouts instead of admitting his guilt. Do you ever have that? They argue with you. You're always wrong, they're always right. Or somebody else did it. I was laughing. Roger was telling me, that's my son-in-law, he was telling me the boys and Sissy was in the room playing the other day. And I guess Mason, now these boys, they are so rough with their sister. And she's just a year old. They were, you know, they think they can wrestle with her and everything, you know. And I mean, when they come to my place, I'm hollering and screaming at them. I protect her, you know. I want her protected a little bit. So, I mean, she's a dainty little girl, you know. She don't have to grow up to be a roughhouse, which she'll probably be a football player or something because of the way they roughhouse with her all the time. But anyhow, they were playing the other day, and they were all of a sudden Sissy started crying, and Mason runs out quick and he blames it on his brother. He says, "Dad, he made her cry," you know. Now, I do believe that one, you know, because he said that they knew he was sitting there reading books and looking at books, you know, but he had to go tattletale on his brother, you know, because of it. And I thought that was kind of funny, you know, there, that when he was telling me about that, you know, that he didn't do it, but if he would have been blaming it on somebody else, you know what I mean there. And that's what happens with a lot of kids. They blame it on somebody else. They don't want to admit their guilt. You have this in your families, don't you? It's just something that you have. So when you have these, you have these rules and regulations, they got to be followed. Now, okay, and you have to lay down the law on them that yourself to make sure that you follow through of what you say. You know, if you say, you know, this is our rule, you must follow it. I tell you what, I mean, a lot of you are it's just coming in for some of you, but the teenage years, you're going to find out, you know, these laws and rules and regulations that you lay down is going to be worse than better, unless that you did get something drilled through them, you know, until that time. Because when the teenage years comes, you know, mom and dad's always wrong. But then they say when they get in their 20s, mom and dad was always right. You know, that's what they'll say. But it's them teenage years that they're going to go through. And I'm hoping as these lessons go on, there is lessons where I think that I'm going to break the ages down and the stages and some of the things that they go through, hopefully, you know, for you to see, just to see these different things. So, you know, if you have a rule, and it's just like I had to do the same thing. I had one of them that, you know, I told him, here's the way it is. He's a teenager, you know, thought he was his own boss and everything. And I told him, I said, you're living under my roof. Here's the rules. Here's the regulations. Now, if you don't like it, you can pack your clothes and you can go. You know, I don't say, I'm not saying that that's something that you should try, you know, but that was something that worked for me. You know, and he did straighten out then, because he found out that it's pretty nice, I believe, staying here with mom and dad, you know, free meals and all that kind of stuff, you know, nice warm bed to live in and things like that. But, you know, it was just that rebellion. It was that not respect for authority at that particular time, and he was a teenager. So get ready, teen. Okay, now, so if a child breaks a rule, he's got to bear the consequences as it's spelled out by his parents. Okay, now, here's one. If no rule was laid down, then what should you do about such offenses?
If no rule.
If no rule's laid down, should they be punished?
Why would you have rules laid
down? I'm just saying, if there's no rule laid down, you know, there's... Let me ask you a question. Well, let me put it to you this way. Some people make the rules as they go along. You see? And they will say, you know, oh, okay. Here's the rule, you know, and you didn't obey it, so you're going to get punished for it. But they didn't have the rule laid down. So now what? Well, you think about that. I mean, should they be punished for that? Some of you shaking your head. Why? No. Bernie.
Well, you need to tell the child, you know, that this is a rule that, you know, that this is not acceptable. I apologize for not sharing this with you, but this is a rule in our house, and we will not do this again. You can't expect a child to obey something that he doesn't know what he's supposed to obey for. You know, they have to have guidelines. They have to have boundaries. If they don't have that, how can you expect them to do what you want them to do if they don't know what they're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. Ron, you were going to say something.
Situational too.
Okay, go ahead.
Some things that you might not have a specific, right, this is expected, but they should have understood sometimes too, without having to specify that this is incorrect. And kids are good about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you never told me that. Well, yeah, but...
but you already know it. That's the thing,
kind of,
yeah. Okay, Ron, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I was going to say basically the same thing the pastor said. Sometimes you have to challenge the impediments. You have to ask them. You didn't understand that this was something you shouldn't have done? Haven't things happened around here before that you know? Yeah, maybe I didn't tell you don't do that, but you know you weren't supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Train them.
Right. 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 And you know, a lot of these younger children do, you know, see some of the things that the older children do get in trouble with and stuff. But yet, the funny part about it is, they'll go and do the same stupid thing. You know, that's what it just doesn't seem sometimes that it sinks in.
Yeah.
is what the crazy thing about it is. Well, no parent can lay down every conceivable rule for their children. Therefore, there may be occasions where children's behavior would be unacceptable and for which we have not laid down rules. What should we do? Well, what should we do? Well, such offenses should not be punished because there was no law, neither is there violation. Romans 4:15 says, because the law worketh wrath, and you see, there's the key. They don't like laws or rules in the house because it makes them mad. You know, I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do what mom or dad wants me to do. You know, so he says, because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Well, true, I agree with that 100%. But, you know, there is sometimes, just like the pastor said there, and Bunny, you know, both, you know, what's going on here, you know, in the home, you know, there's some things they should definitely just know without, you know, you having a list a mile long of rule 101 says, you know, or rule 102 says, you know. You know, you don't have to always have to have a list. Okay, so that one's pretty good there, you know. So let's go to the next one here. If a child actively defiles parental authority, what must be done then? Or what would you do if they actually defile your authority? Some of you younger ones here, close your ears, them older ones. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I think that's the time when they have to lose something. There has to be some discipline that's going to cause them some grief, depending on their age. Either, well, these days it's the iPod or the phone or the whatever gets taken away for an extended period of time, or the favorite toys, or they expect it to be going somewhere to do something, and it may be something that's going to cause you a little grief if you've got to take that away from them. But you need to take something seriously away from them.
See, that was my next question. Is it always using the rod? So do you think that it's better just to use the rod and be done with it, or what? What are you thinking?
Sometimes, and we just up the rod. You know, because we're not getting through. And so in a sense, that's what we have done.
Well, yeah, but let me ask you a question. I know you don't, like you said, you don't have, like, you know, a lot of these things, these iPods and all that kind of stuff. But isn't there something that they really enjoy doing that you can take from them?
But the problem is, they got four other brothers that have them too. Or three.
What's that?
We take the BB gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. That's
like that.
Oh, well, there's where you really got to lay the law down then. They go and take their brothers and use it. Go ahead.
Something that the boy says,
brothers will put the heat on. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. And you can't get it back till you do this. Well, maybe the brothers will help him get it done. They, you know, they don't want to be punished for him. But it's like the military uses that.
Mm-hmm.
One guy's bad, the whole company.
Mm-hmm.
And so the company kind of straightens out the bad.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised, I won't say, but you'd be surprised just what does happen to straighten some of them guys out, too.
That's the hide the soap, too, Dean, or something.
I won't say, but I'm telling you, they straighten out, though. Yeah, no, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea, you know, taking everything and letting them all be punished for the one, because then the other ones, they're not going to be happy about that, period. I mean, I had the same thing, you know. I used a rod, don't get me wrong. That was one of my big things. But, you know, I discovered, especially when it came to be a teenager, you know, I had one that was good at it. He loved it. But, you know, he loved to ride four-wheeler and motorcycle all the time. But guess what? Dad had a hold on it. And Dad, whenever it suited Dad, he'd take it away from him. And, oh, man, that was worse than getting a licking. So it was. He did not like that whatsoever. He wanted that. He wanted to ride it, you know. But too bad. When you straighten out, you get it back. That's just the way it was. Yeah. There's just sometimes, you know, it's just not only the rod, but you got to take away some of these privileges that they have, you know, to get them to understand, you know, to get them to go through these different things. It is. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right. I'm glad you brought that up. And that's right. It is trial and error. You just have to, you got to pick and choose, you know. And you'll see that something really gets their goat, that they do not like that taken from them or whatever it might be. And then you know you got them, you know. So, but it is. It's just trial and error. You just got to play with it a little bit till you can see that. A child who is actively rebelling against parental authority is rejecting his parents' right to rule over him. Such a child is not receptive to parental instruction. Parental authority must first be reestablished before parental instruction can effectively take place. Should the rod be used to reestablish parental authority? It's not to vent parental anger. And remember that. If you're going to use the rod, cool down before you do it. That's one thing that I should have learned myself. You know, that's something I never learned. When they made me hot, I was hot. Look out. You're getting it. You know. But if we were out someplace, you know, and you got to watch today. You got to be very careful today when you're out. But if you tell them, when we get home, this is what's going to happen. Then when you get home, you better follow through. Because if you don't, they know that they got away with it, and they're going to try it again. So when you say something, follow through, whatever it is, you know. Like I say, you can't always have the rod and use it out here now, especially these days. This CYS and all these radicals, you know, that have this, they don't understand what it's like bringing up parents or bringing up children. The parents bringing up children, so they don't even understand parents anyhow themselves. I don't even know that they are, you know, that they're even fit to be parents themselves. The CYS, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. And look, it's not child abuse either, by using the rod. The rod is not, you don't want to be angry, but it's not child abuse either, you know. Now, yes, and that's what brought this CYS on, because some people used it as child abuse, which they really, you know, they did overstep their bounds, and that's what brought these kind of people in, you know, and now everybody's got to, there we go, there we're talking about. Everybody's got to pay for it. It's the same way as what we're just telling Corby here about taking the stuff away from every kid, you know. But now, just like this here, everybody's got to pay for it just because of that, because of this child abuse stuff. So Parents must administer the rod in a controlled manner to cause the child to cease his rebellion and accept his parents' authority over his life. If children do not learn to obey their parents, then it would be difficult for them to obey God. And that is true. If they can't obey you, how do you expect them that they're going to obey God? Go back to, we're going to be doing this a lot, but go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Christian parenting, our first priority is not children's obedience, but our own relationship to the Lord. It's our own relationship to the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 here, starting at verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Take out that word Israel and put your name in there. He wants you to know and to understand that He is the only God that there is. And then He tells you what you're supposed to do, and He was telling them what they were supposed to do. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now, if it's not in your heart, how do you expect to put it into your child's heart? You can't do it, you know. You might as well say you're not doing nothing as if you can't do that. So you've got to have this in your heart. You're to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And your children are going to say, it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." You're supposed to teach it to them. You know, you're supposed to teach this love that you have in your heart, this love of the Lord that you have in your heart, to teach it to your children. You see, that's what He wants you to do. And you're going to discover that your first priority as parents is to love the Lord. And then teach it to your children so that they can love you and follow up with loving the Lord. And that's part of this here, teaching them from generation to generation to generation to generation, on down through, you know. And I know what you're thinking. I said the same thing, you know, myself lots of times, you know. If I could just get it through to them, if I could just get it through to them. Well, you know, some of you are, and you don't realize that you are. Because I've seen some of the things, the different aspects of all your children in junior church. And you are doing some things right. You don't think you are, but you are. You're doing some things right. So don't get discouraged and say, "Man, if I could just get it into their head." You are. It just takes time. It just takes constantly doing it, constantly doing it, constantly doing it. And yes, does it get tiring? Oh my, yes. But you constantly do it.
Did a good job. You didn't do what you've been doing. You listened to me. Whatever it is, you need to be as quick and as often reinforcing the things that they did good. Especially if they're responding to your penalties or your discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you value. Often we talk about discipline. We talk about, you know, telling them, showing them, living. And I believe that's all important. But I think that third one's often forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there's nothing the matter with, you know, some of the things you have in your house. I mean, it's teaching.
When he brainwashed those children, they had pictures of him up. They saw it all the time. And you see it so often, you believe it. And even pictures and scripture up on the wall. Hey, read that. After a while, maybe it sets in. I think we forget that one last one.
Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12 says, "As ye know how we exhort and comfort and charge every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." So in verse 11 there he says, as ye know how we exhorted. So a father's responsibility, first of all, is to exhort. The second thing is, and comfort. His second thing there is, he's to comfort. That's his responsibility. And the third thing there, I believe, the father's supposed to do is charge. And that's to lay down or impose a task, as a task. Something like that there, you know, a charge. He charges them, you know. So he says that a father's supposed to exhort, comfort, and charge. And he says here, as a father doth his children. That's what's a father supposed to do. Hebrews 12:9 says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live?" So, you know, the parents are given the spirit of responsibility to the family and home as God would. You know, God does the same thing to us. He disciplines us. And they're to bring instruction and correction, you know, to the children. That's what they're supposed to do. God does that to us. You see, His word says that He does that to us. And godly children, by definition, God's love, God's way, and serve others. They grow up to be men and women that devote themselves to God and to others, as serving others and things like that. So, a child's responsibility is to obey his father and his mother. A father is to exhort, comfort, and charge and discipline his children. A mother also has authority over the child and assists her husband in carrying out the responsibilities. The parent part is, here's what it is. Speak directly to the child, face to face. Don't let your child turn away from you. What some of them things that I was just telling you there, you know, about a child just doing whatever they want to do as you're talking to them. Get them in your face. Talk to them face to face. You know what the second thing is? Make them repeat just what you said. Make them repeat just what you said. You know, I watch my daughter and she does that. I don't know where she picked up on that. You know, but she picked up on that. I see her whenever she's correcting, especially them boys. I mean, whoa, come here, look at me. My daughter-in-law does the same thing. I see her do that too, you know, face to face. And they repeat what they said. Do you understand? I'll say that. You know, they make them repeat what they say, what they said, you know, to them. And make sure you're going to carry through what you said. See, that's the one I did go over. But make sure that you carry through of what you said that you're going to do, no matter what. And don't forget to check to see if you're setting a good example yourself. Questions or comments? I'm going to quit there. Okay. Father, we thank you now for this time. We thank you for, as we're going through this here with the children and authority. Lord, we know that you are our authority, and Father, we just need to follow your word, what you have for us, how you can teach us. Be open to it. Let your Holy Spirit teach us through your word and talk to us, Father. Because there's times, Father, where we do have difficult children. We do have times where we just need you. We need you to show us just how to correct, how to discipline, how to do the different things with children there, Father, so that we can bring them up in the admonition of you as your word says. So, Lord, we just ask you would just help us with that and be with us throughout this day now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.